This is Follow Spot, San Diego Theater Scene's bi-weekly podcast focused on the people who make theater in San Diego County, with news, views, and conversation to inform you of what's happening in San Diego's exciting theater community.
Hi, and welcome to San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot Podcast. I'm Kelly Lepchinski, sitting in for Dale Morris this week. I am sitting with our new managing artistic director, Josh Hyatt, who we'll be talking to a little bit later, our engineer, Michael Thomas Tower, and our first guest for the week is director Peter James Serino from the Asian American Repertory Company, which is presenting the Joy Luck Club. Hello, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing pretty good. Tell us a little bit about directing this production.
Well, Joy Luck Club is taken from an Amy Tan novel, which was written about the generational move between old world China and coming to the United States, and then that next generation of kids who had to deal with what it was like to be torn between the old world and living in this new country. The beauty of it is how poignantly we see the transition of this next generation into who they are, how they find their own identity within a cultural heritage and a new cultural beginning in their own way. So I think that's what's the beauty of this show. And it's four daughters and their four moms. The moms were all born in China and the daughters all born here in the United States, dealing with the issues of marriage and work and trying to fit in and still trying to be loyal to their parents and their heritage, but also kind of attacking the new world and living within it.
And there's some amount of sacrifice, I assume, for the Chinese mothers who did come over to America to bring their daughters that new life. And now they're separated from the Chinese traditions and
Well, they still try to live in those. You know, they form a thing called the Joy Luck Club where they play mahjong and raise money for different things that they want to do. But they are very competitive, you know, in how they look at their daughters, you know, who's doing what and which one's doing this. And then when you kind of get an insight into each one of their lives, you see how even the mothers are being torn by the fact that some of them say, I didn't want her to be completely Chinese. I wanted her to be a mixture of these, you know, that they inside, they were still Chinese, but that we created this world where they could fit in and nobody would stop them from being able to accomplish the things they needed to.
The novel was a very complex story. And the movie captured much of that complexity, which I would think has to be simplified to put it on stage. How has that been done?
It's really hard because it's very episodic. Mm-hmm. Because the novel is, like you said, it's a huge arc, this yes. You know, encompassing thing. And I thought the movie took probably about 60% of the novel. You know, and what's beautiful about the book, if you've seen the movie, is that it takes an additional part of it that you didn't see in the movies and puts that in. And also kind of goes a little more into the personal relationships with each one of their parents. More in depth, you know, we see a little bit more of what causes each one to strive or to succeed or to fail. You know, and we see those moments in their past that actually kind of come to fruition in the future, either in a good way and sometimes in a bad way. You know, they can't live in a relationship, you know, they're subservient and they can't say who they are because they're trying to live that culture that their parents tried to teach them. So we see those really intricate moments really well in this play.
Is it the eight characters? Is that
there's eight, you know, the four moms and the four daughters, and then there's this, well, we cast 17, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and one of the reasons I think that we do that, especially with ART, is that there isn't a lot of work for Asian American actors. In a total, we have, out of the 17, only three are not Asian. So, you know, we really tried to focus on getting as many Asian actors some work, you know, because it's very rare that the plays are done for the community.
It's a large cast.
Yeah. It's very little space. You know?
And speaking of space, now, Asian American Rep, does it have a home of its own, or is it basically a gypsy company?
Yeah, we're very nomadic. You know, last year we were at San Diego State in the Experimental Theater. This year we're at the Ion Space, which is at the Dance Lab in Mission Gorge. So, you know, last year it was 100 and about 150 seats. This year we're about at 55, 57 seats. But we felt that we did well last summer with a world premiere, House of Chaos, by Valina Houston. But we felt like we needed to kind of target a smaller space to be able to always look like we're full, you know, because even in a 150-seat house, even if you had 80 people, you know, the actors always went,
it's half a house.
Yeah. So,
looking at your card here, I don't see a name of a writer for the play.
Oh, you know, it's in the...
Susan Kim.
Yes.
Susan Kim did the adaptation of Amy Tam's novel.
And this is actually the officially the second projection of it, but there was a third production that was done that was more of a workshop kind of in resin, but it was done in LA a couple times. But we got lucky enough to get it from her. And we tried to bring her down, but she was really kind of busy. I think she's in Pacific Rim Theater Festival, so she couldn't come by.
Now, you yourself are also very busy. You're an associate professor or a professor at San Diego State?
San Diego State, yeah.
And I have also read, I looked you up a little bit, and I saw that you've done a lot of translation work, not just from Spanish, but from French, from German, from Greek plays.
You know, when I was in undergraduate, first of all, the nuns and the Jesuits got me ready for all that translation thing, because then we had to take Greek and Latin in, you know, 3 years of the 4 years you're in school, so I was like, I was prepped for anything that colleges could give me. But, you know, I tried to do as many things as I could in undergraduate, because I always felt like I was wasting time. I mean, it was just time. And I wanted to do things that hadn't been done before. And I thought, well, how do you do that? Unless you find new works constantly. So I thought, what if I started translating stuff? You know, and it was really rough at first, you know. And so we did our own version of The Frogs, you know. And we did our... one of the deals that I made with my German professor was if I could translate Franz Wedekind's, the trilogy, Pandora's Box, Spring Awakening. If I translated those, would he give me credit for the semester? And he said, yeah, I'll give you credit for two semesters if you can actually do that. And so it's really rough. And I think if I went back and looked at it now, I'd probably go, wow, that's not so hot. But it was fun. And when we were in Seattle, we took parts of what I translated and created it into a play, into Pandora's Box. So I had a theater company in Seattle for a while.
Sounds exciting. I want to see the Joy Luck Club because I love the story. I love the book. I like the movie. And I'm looking forward to it. Tell us the dates and so forth.
Sure.
So we'll know when it's going on.
We open next Friday. The 4th, is that right? My mind is...
August 15th.
August 15th, yeah. We close on the 14th. I was confused. Everyone. So we open August 15th, and we run Fridays, Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2. You know, the fun part of this is that you're going to see some actresses that are really, truly amazing. We have a professor from USD, and she's, you know, this amazing, brilliant woman, PhD, Elise Prosser. We have some new actors that have never been on stage before. So we always try to mix that in. You know, last year... Even at State, when I do my productions at State, I try to use anywhere from 40 to 50% actors that have never either been used in shows before or that's their first time. Because I think it's really important to constantly keep growing that next show. You know, so you have people who've done this work, taken a chance on with maybe one or two little small parts, and then the next show they take on a bigger role.
You were telling us a little bit before we went on about Asian American theater, what they're doing so far as number of productions and so forth. Tell us a little bit about that. You've been doing not so many, and you're hoping to be able to increase that?
Yeah, you know, a long time ago, this is now it's going into its 12th year of existence, but for 3 years there, it was kind of, you know, we lost a space back about 4 or 5 years ago. When that space was lost, there was kind of like everybody had kind of peaked at it, you know, so the board stayed together. With Louis Nguyen being, you know, in charge of it. And so they kind of went kind of down in a hiatus for a couple of years, building up their revenue so that we could do a show. They came to me about 2.5 years ago and said, would you be interested in serving on the board? And I said, oh, I'd love to, you know. And so we began negotiations with doing the world premiere for Relina Houston's House of Chaos last year. So we started a year of raising money. And we did that show last summer, which was very successful, and we really... felt like it really kind of got us kick-started. This year they helped promote I do an international show, and we toured locally, all the shows south of A to schools. They're a little more diverse, culturally kind of mixed, and so they produce that, and that show goes on to Mexico City, to the orphanages, and to Oaxaca and things. So ART helped produce that this year, along with San Diego State. Those are the kind of shows we're looking at, always having a show that goes out to the community, to, you know, young schools that usually can't afford the bigger theaters. Then we're looking at something with new playwrights, new local playwrights that could write something. And then we're looking at something always kind of edgy and experimental. And then, of course, the yearly show like this one that's kind of like a celebration of the culture, something that is a little more mainstream, but then can also kind of bring in a bigger audience. So we're looking at those four possibilities for the future.
Are you finding Asian American writers locally?
You know, we've begun, yeah. Especially, Elise has an amazing script that we're looking at right now, the professor I told you from USD. And we've gotten some writings from other people. A lot of the students at State, you know, have... I have a videographer who's written most of his own scripts, and he's kind of adapting those to shorter pieces in theater, and so we're looking at some of those as well. So
Now, you mentioned earlier that you had some success with The House of Chaos, and that was an Asian American rep production in collaboration with The Collective. Now, what is The Collective, and is that still in operation? Is that something still operating?
That was, no, it's, you know, this, it's a company I started. This is my eighth company across the country. Mm-hmm. And it's a group that's kind of very, The Collective is a perfect name for it, because we kind of are community and student-based, and we all decide what happens with the production. And when we work on a production, we actually all kind of take different hats. And a long time ago, it was my idea that you just name, these are the people who were in the show. You couldn't just determine who was the set designer, who was the actor, but usually people get upset about that, so we actually have to list people. But it's very much an open kind of form. We do actual plays. We did Edward II downtown at the first Ion space that they had downtown. We've taken a bunch of shows locally and toured. So yeah, that's still in existence, and we really kind of cohabitate with ART to help bring different shows out. And so it's kind of alive, you know. It's, you know, nomadic as well. You know, it's hard to find a space in San Diego. I thought Seattle was hard, and then we got here, and I went, wow.
Right. Well, Peter James Serino is the director of the Joy Luck Club at the San Diego Asian American Repertory Theater that is running at the Lab, the Academy of Performing Arts in Mission Valley. That is the space, if you're familiar with Ion Theater Company, that they currently perform in. 4580B Alvarado Canyon Road, August 15th through September 14th, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Thank you so much, Peter, for being with us.
Thank you very much.
New Village Arts presents one of its most requested repeat performances this month through the 24th, the extravagant romantic seaside love story, Sailor Song by John Patrick Shanley. This stylistic production, decorated with dance, pits a cynical man against a true believer in a battle over beautiful women. San Diego Magazine says you'll never forget it. Purchase tickets at newvillagearts.org.
Welcome back to San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot Podcast. I'm Kelly Lepchinsky along with Michael Thomas Tower, and now we're going to talk to our new Managing Artistic Director, Josh Hyatt. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you. Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about how you found us, how Dale found you. How did this come about?
Well, I moved out to San Diego about 2.5 years ago and started getting involved with theater. Didn't have a lot of opportunities in San Diego, so I actually spent a lot of time in L.A. doing theater, and got lucky enough to see an ad for a director. Mm. And I said, ooh, something local, and I like directing. So I responded to the ad, and Michael contacted me about directing Hairdresser on Fire.
One of our Q Play series.
Yes. It will be the first one opening September 7th.
Lovely.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's a great cast. It'll be a lot of fun. From that point on, I was asked to direct a second show in the Q series, Bad Nights on Sunset Boulevard.
Bad Night
Bedroom.
In a Men's Room.
There you go.
On Sunset Boulevard.
It's a fabulous title, which is absolutely well written, and it was a very funny title, so I had to take it. Went into negotiations and talked to Dale for a while, and now he asked me to be the artistic director. So.
Lovely. Now, of course, for those who don't know, our current artistic director most recent artistic director, Matt Thompson, was stepping down from the position that left a vacancy there. Mm-hmm. So Dale has approached you and you have agreed.
Yes.
And we've got some lovely things on the horizon there. So let's talk about the directing. Now, you're doing Q plays for us. Mm-hmm. Now, you've directed quite a bit in Florida.
Yes. I have directed actually one show in San Diego before Hairdresser. It was called Searching for Mr. Right, which showed at the Diversionary Theater just recently. In Florida, I did direct quite a few shows. Most of them were musicals. I have a strong musical background, but I've done quite a few plays. It's almost at a loss to come up. Man of La Mancha, Assassins, Complete History of America, the Complete Shakespeare. there's a lot of that I've done. And I've worked with a lot of theaters in rep, which helps with having that experience in this mm-hmm. theater, because sometimes you have to run two shows simultaneously yes. and make sure they work. And also in Florida, I was an artistic director for a theater out there called Main Street Playhouse. Mm-hmm. And we were primarily focused on doing musicals and well-known plays. And so I ran their house. I was basically ended up being the general manager for the theater and the artistic director for the theater.
Lovely. And, of course, you've also worked on several boards of directors. You've mm-hmm. been on the producer's side. And you've got a background in law.
Yes, I have a background in law.
So you've got some background to get into this position and dig your heels in.
I came to theater as something that I had a lot of interest in doing. In college, I sang. I studied psychology in my undergraduate years, and I needed to have an arts thing, and so what I decided to do was try singing, and I was terrified of singing in front of anybody ever. So the only person I ever sang in front of was my vocal coach, and she encouraged me to start auditioning for shows just to get that exposure and comfortability. And then I went into doing little things here and there, doing recitals and so forth, but decided to focus my professional career in law and psychology. I actually started off in psychology, was a psychotherapist for a number of years, then moved into the law and to healthcare administration, and now I work in health law with dealing with malpractice and doing preemptive work for physicians and hospitals to help them keep out of court and do the right things.
Lovely.
But the theater has always been my passion. That's where my drive is. That's where my focus is. And when I started doing that, I was able to take my skills as an administrator and bring them into the theater.
It's and you're a performer as well, are you not?
Yes, I'm an actor.
Mm-hmm. You have appeared on a television. I am aware that you've been on court TV anyway, Forensic Files, I remember seeing. What other things have you done?
What was nice, I've done a lot, most of my theater experience, did a lot of musicals, and then when I moved to San Diego, I ended up going to LA a lot for auditions and got some film. That was my first exposure into film, TV. I've done some commercials, done a few commercial bits here and there. I have one State Farm commercial that's now playing in China, which I've never got to see, but I've heard it's really, really funny. I've done
like a good neighbor.
Done commercials for Sony and a couple other things like that. The American Bible Society was my first big commercial, actually. The American Bible Society commercial, actually, I was nationwide on Thanksgiving Day, and it was my first commercial, so I was very excited about that.
Lovely.
And I've done some film, done some short films and some television work, like court TV.
You're doing a web movie now, aren't you?
Yes, and actually right now I'm involved in a web show. I don't know how they say that.
Webisode,
that's it. We're actually filming over 30 episodes, and it's called Campaign America, and it's going to start on YouTube, and it's going to grow into its own viral, and then mm-hmm. be proposed for syndication.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And is it related to the presidential campaign?
Yes.
Or is it camp? Okay.
Yes, it is. It's actually very fun. The whole premise of the show is that there is a third-party candidate running against Obama and McCain, who is now, he has developed the Democratic-Republican Party, where he's trying to fuse the two parties together. And so he hires a Republican candidate, a Republican advisor and a Democratic advisor. And I'm the Democratic advisor, and my character's name is Ray. He's kind of a very flamboyant Democratic character who is... His nemesis is the Republican, who's a very conservative Texan kind of guy, and so they kind of foil off each other all the time. And
now, how does the end of this campaign, when somebody is actually elected in real life, how does that affect your syndication probabilities?
Well, because then you can move into Congress.
Okay.
He lost. He's going to obviously lose to a president. so he will run for Congress, or he'll run for something else. And the focus, of course, is his character, is that he's a very smart guy, but he's totally out of touch with everybody. So he'll try to take very opposing ideologies and bring them together in some kind of fusion, and it just doesn't work because it's so ridiculous.
Well, best of luck to you. You know, I'm a little afraid that we might lose you to that. A couple of friends of mine from Nashville started a viral YouTube, and it's become their full-time job. They've been on CNN. They've been the Red State Update. If you've heard of Red State Update, that's Jonathan Shockley and Travis Harmon from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I enjoy the television and film medium, but it is not my favorite. Theater is by far my favorite medium. Mm-hmm. I truly enjoy being on stage or working with people on stage, developing characters, developing that energy, developing that motivation, and that really is my focus, so I won't leave for film.
What are your plans for Compass Theater? What can we look forward to?
Well, with Compass Theater, we're looking at the direction. We've got a new name, Compass, which indicates you're going to find your direction. So we're going to start setting up, hopefully, some pillars and get some direction set for the theater. There's been some great work going on at Compass, and my goal is to first keep that going, keep that very positive, very good momentum, and then work with the community and get some, and hopefully increase our volunteer base, develop some really interesting seasons, maybe have some nice themes, get people really excited about coming back to the theater, and really work with different partnerships and other theater groups to jointly work on shows and so forth. So that's my overall artistic vision, and hopefully we'll be able to develop a resident actors and directors program, which I think will be really beneficial for the theater and for the community, and help, you know, work, keep our actors and directors employed and excited.
Always a good thing, yes.
It's always a good thing. We have a lot of projects coming up, and hopefully we'll be making some nice inroads. We have the Q Plays, which are starting now, which it's great for the gay community. There's some wonderful stuff. Well, there's gay, lesbian, and transgendered themes in that. I'm actually very excited about the transgender theme show, because we don't have those very often. And
which one is the transgender theme?
It's the one on Bad Night.
Bad Night in a Men's Room.
There you go.
We better get the title out there. Bad Night in a Men's Room off Sunset Boulevard.
Thank you.
I just have to say, that's a vivid image to me, so it's stuck.
I'm very sorry. I just can't put in title. I love the title, just can't get the verbatim right.
Well, just about 1 month from now, Hairdresser on Fire opens, which is the first of the Q Plays, which you're directing. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with that.
Well, Hairdresser actually has nothing to do with hairdressing.
Or fire.
However, the yes, it's kind of got a Morrissey. There's a Morrissey song with that title, but really the Morrissey song has nothing to do with the show either. So
we just call it non sequitur and leave
totally
it at that.
Totally non sequitur. It's a very interesting show. It's a romantic kind of drama with quite a bit of comedy thrown in. I, as a director, and anybody that's ever seen any of my shows know, I like some shtick in my stuff. So there'll always be shtick in the show. There'll always be something going on that's just a little intriguing. I have a great cast. We just actually started our rehearsal process last night, and we worked scene one, and I was blown away by the performance.
Great.
I have a great, I mean, they were off book, and they were ready to go, and it was quite a pleasure. Show basically deals with a young man in New York who is new to the gay community, and is kind of a little naive about the gay community. He has two very solid friends that are there to support him and help him, and he meets a guy who essentially should be your dream guy. He's an attorney, he's good looking, he's charming, but as the show unravels, he becomes a little darker and a little darker and a little darker. It's got some great levels, a lot of good comedy with some of our secondary characters that are just phenomenally funny.
Oh, I look forward to seeing that.
Forward to, yeah.
So that one opens when? September 7th?
September 7th, and it runs through October 8th.
And that begins the Q Play series.
That's the very first one.
So and the Q Play series is basically, as it says, a series. There's one show, Hairdresser on Fire, will start, and then there are five in the complete series. So when Hairdresser closes, another Q Plays takes its place?
The next one is
Backwater Blues.
Backwater Blues, right.
A musical. And then following that is Bad Night in a Men's Room off of Sunset Boulevard.
And then Dancing the God.
Then Dancing the God, which is just an elegantly beautiful piece, telling a fascinating story. And then we end up with Vamp, which is one of the oddest plays I've ever read. I haven't seen it yet, with some of the most interesting characters. It's funny and it's moving.
It says Chloe is plagued by annoying characters from bad plays and the trembling remnants of her past. Yeah. Annoying characters from bad plays. I want to submit some suggestions.
But it's a great series, and I'm so glad Josh is a part of getting it up and being the first one out of the gate and giving us really something to look forward to. I think it's going to be one of the most exciting things that Compass has done in its new incarnation and as Sixth at Penn. It's going to be a great series for us.
Well, as a director, of course, I always look for very interesting challenges. When I saw Hairdresser on Fire, the first thing that attracted me to it was the title. So that's just a great title.
I
want to have that title. I don't know what's in the show, but that's a great one. When I read it, I was pleasantly surprised on how well it's written and constructed. And same thing with Bad Night.
And we should mention the writer of it, Scott C. Sickles from New York.
Mm-hmm. And that's Hairdresser on Fire.
Yes. Yeah.
Bad Night.
That's in its draft forms right now, and I have read what's available, and I was very impressed with the openness to the characters, the relationships with the characters. It's not so much a comedy as it is pretty mm-hmm. pretty good drama.
And, okay, I have to ask. Mm-hmm? Does Night, A Men's Room, or Sunset Boulevard come into it?
Yeah, actually it does.
Oh,
yes, it does. Not in setting, but there
in
is
the men's room.
But there is it's a reference to something that occurred during in that place at that time. And then it does introduce a transgender character, which I'm very, very happy about.
Well, Josh, thank you so very much for your time. Mm-hmm. We welcome you to the new position at Compass Theater and have great hopes for great things to come.
I thank you very much. I look forward to it, and I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you, Josh.
The pasts of four immigrant Chinese mothers and their present-day difficulties with their American-born daughters are played out in a series of powerful vignettes in Susan Kim's The Joy Luck Club, adapted from the Amy Tan novel and playing now at the Lab at the Academy of Performing Arts, presented by Asian American Rep. For more information, log on to asianamericanrep.org.
And welcome back to San Diego Theater Scene Follow Spot Podcast, Michael. Neither one of us have been out to see a lot of theater in the last few weeks. We've been very busy with some of our own in-house transitions.
Well, I did see Yank a little over a week ago. We were talking about it last podcast. Did get to see it. It's a wonderful show. So get out and see that.
You know what I did do, though? I got out and did the Kronos Theater. We talked to Celeste a couple weeks ago. And I did their last speakeasy, which was 1959, I believe. It was the Beat era.
Yes.
So we did some Beat poetry. That was a lot of fun. They've got another one coming up. It's going to be the Casablanca era. So 40s, I guess. It's Rick's Cafe American.
Oh, gee.
But after Rick has left, so don't expect to see Bogey out there. But that's coming up. I think August 16th is
so
the date
Sam's
for the next
not
one of those.
Play it again?
Well, he might. You played it for her. You can play it for me. Now play it. But yeah, they've got. In fact, they've got their own little group of musicians: Jason Connors and Reese Green. And usually, there's one other. Musician who plays with them. Kind of a tag out thing, but then they do the readings and the Beat poetry or the poetry of whatever era they're in, and it's really a lot of fun out
Sounds
there
like fun.
At the Hole at Lytton Street, and
which is the name of a bar, by the way.
Yes, the Hole is the bar,
not a hole on Lytton Street.
Well, they actually named themselves as in a hole in the wall. They are a little hole in the wall, a little world famous dive in their own words. They say. Some other interesting things going on. We talked to Robin Christ a couple weeks ago, and she was here to talk about Helen at the Theater Inc. That has since closed. But she also mentioned doing the choreography for Sailor Song, and that has now opened.
Which has just opened, yes.
Mm-hmm. New Village Arts. And New Village Arts is not just doing Sailor Song. They're also mounting the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged.
Mm, yes, playing in repertory.
So from August 2nd to the 24th, it's the Sailor Song. And then starting on August 10th, they've got the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged. That'll run through the 20th, I guess, on their opposite Sailor Song. And then once Sailor Song has closed, it'll take on that last final weekend, the 28th through the 31st, mm-hmm. at their place in Carlsbad Village. And if you're interested in tickets for that, newvillagearts.org, 760-433-3245.
Two very different shows to go see.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have not seen the complete works of Shakespeare done. The abridged, 43-second Hamlet, I believe, is part of that.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I've read it, and I've seen the DVD of the reduced Shakespeare Company, but I've not actually been in the audience for a performance of that, and I would love to. I think that's going to be a great opportunity to see it.
Maybe we better make the drive up to Carlsbad.
Absolutely. It's a great little space up there, too. Their theater there is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I went there to see Prelude to a Kiss. I was very impressed. Very impressed with that space. Other things going on. Backyard Productions, they're back. They're going to be at Signet with a fundraising staged reading of a play called Push Up. It's on August 18th and 19th at 7 o'clock, directed by Jessica John. And I do believe our very own Dale has a part in that.
And speaking of that, Dale is in, I don't have the card there. Oh, there it is, the receptionist at Signet Theater,
which opens
August 2nd. Has opened on August 2nd, plays through August 31. And in the cast, Melinda Gilb, Joanne Glover, Sean Cox, and Dale Morris. And I want to get over there and see that. That looks like it would be a very good show.
People are already saying it's been a hoot. It's getting a lot of talk already. That's a great show. And there's so much to do, so many theaters, and it's just so hard to get out and see everything that's going on. Nemesis, coming up at our own space. Mike Sears and Phil Johnson, this is a piece that they put up at the Actors Alliance Festival in 2006, won the Best Fest there. And with both Mike and Phil, there's also a co-star, Terry Park, the director, Cynthia Stokes. And that one's opening on August 9th, runs through the 24th. So,
trying to read the description here. Part of it's cut off in the printing, so I can't read the whole thing. But as with anything they do, it's crazy.
It is. Well, I think it takes place in an Appalachian pretzel factory.
Oh, there are a lot of those up there.
Of course. And, one of them's the salt worker, and they slap each other up and down the coast, apparently, from New York to Maine to wherever, and it's immature fun is the way that they've advertised this one. Coming up, that's the first thing coming up at Compass Theater, but then after that, during that run, on one of the nights that Vox Nova is not presenting Nemesis, The Maiden's Prayer from Triad Productions, they've got a reading in there on August 19th at 7 p.m., and then, on our own stages,
Trollis and Cressida,
mm-hmm.
Is that the next one? Opens August 30, plays through October 5. It's the Shakespeare play, adapted by Welton Jones and directed by Welton Jones. Well, it's also adapted by George Weinberg Harder, and Welton Jones is directing.
And that has been some feat. That's a long, not that any Shakespeare plays tend to be really, really short, but that one took some culling. They really got to get down
I think it's down to 32 minutes or something like that.
I don't know if it's down that far, but they've really had to bare bones it. And it's funny, George Weinberg Harder, who said that it's one that scholars have been puzzling over for ages, and now it makes far too much sense.
Yeah, it's a dark, sexy, satirical drama of ambition versus reality that baffled scholars for centuries. Yeah, I was always wondering about it. Now it makes far too much sense.
Yeah, I think when you delve that far into that script and try to make it fit into a certain production time, you really have to find out what's important and what moves the plot along. So That's great coming up. Also, Lamplighters is going to be back for a little while. Lamplighters, the community theater. It's one of the Associated Community Theaters that lost its space not very long ago, within the last year.
Where will they be performing?
They're performing at the La Mesa Women's Club. They're doing a little one-act festival, a little short place festival. They did this again last year. I guess it's also a fundraiser for them, trying to find a space and keep themselves going until they have a new space.
And I think you said a couple of the shows on there were productions you had at New Perspective Fest.
They are indeed. A couple of the shows are very familiar. They were looking for shows that were already on their feet and ready to be produced as fundraisers for them. And they took The Memory Book and Taxco Mixto, both of which were in the New Perspective Festival, are going to be featured again under the Lamplighter's name. There are a couple other plays listed there. Unfortunately, I don't have those off the top of my head, but they've got about six plays, I think maybe a musical, and they're going to be charging $14 general admission if you're interested in supporting Lamplighters for their Summerfest 2008. 619-469-6433. Also at the community theater, the other community theaters, ACT theaters, On Stage is continuing with Chivalry. That goes through August 9th, so at this point they're probably closed by the time this podcast goes live.
Maybe.
So another ACT theaters, Never mind. Never. That one's closing too. Patio Playhouse, also an ACT theater. They are premiering a new play by Michael Clark, L'Atelier Rouge, and we talked to Michael about a month back about this production. This is one he's written, and it's going up August 8th through the 24th, Friday and Saturday evenings at 7, Sunday matinees at 2, at 201 East Grand Avenue, Suite 1B, Escondido. I do believe that is the Patio Playhouse space. You can check out more about that one at myspace.com/TheEscapeArtistsSanDiego.
And you were speaking of them being ACT theaters, which is the Association of Community Theaters, right?
Right, the Association
of Community.
That's
the organization they're a member of.
Yes, yes, which includes Onstage, which will have just closed, Chivalrie, Pow Pack, which will have just closed, No Sex Please, We're British, Patio is one of the ACT theaters. Lamplighters is still a member, although they no longer are an active producing theater. And Coronado. Coronado will be the fifth ACT. So also with the Joy Luck Club coming up at the Lab at the Academy of Performing Arts, brought to you by Asian American Repertory Theater. That's in Mission Valley, August 15th through September 14th. And the Fritz Blitz. I have failed to mention the Fritz Blitz.
They're ending their long run.
They are after 15 years. 15 years of the Fritz Blitz. The Fritz Theater, I think, closed some time ago, but they continued the Blitz Festival for a while after that. Now they're closing that down, too. It's just, this is the biggest and the best of the fest. They're bringing it back and shutting it down, and for the absolute final, probably, year. they've left a little asterisk for the possibility of coming back.
They've already had one weekend of the...
They had...
Two weekends of it?
It opened on July 31st, so they did the weekend of the 31st through the 3rd, and by the time we go live, they will have done the weekend of August 7th through 10th, but there are two following weekends, August 14th through 17th. Some familiar names on that, Tim West, who was a writer for our Challenge Theater series, director Dwayne Daniels, who is the artistic director of the Fritz, has got a piece on the 14th through 17th, and Jason Connors, who is... one of the musicians and actors for Kronos Theater. Ruff Yeager, also in that weekend, has written the show, Losing Mother. And then on the August 21st through 24th, I believe that's their closing weekend, Craig Abernethy has got a play in there, State of the Art, and I believe that was one of the best of the best of the fest. I've heard a lot of good things about that piece, directed by Robert May. And this is at the Lyceum Theater in Horton Plaza downtown, Thursday through Saturday at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. Ticket prices are not that bad, $15 to $18. You can get a Fritz Pass to see all of the plays for $49. Now, by the time you're just seeing the last two weekends, you might be benefited just by getting individual tickets, but you could still look into it, see what they got. You can find that out at www.fritztheater.com. And pass holders... This is maybe a good reason to buy the pass, even though you've missed the first two weekends, is that you get to vote for your favorites and attend the awards ceremony for them. Mm. And this may be the last one of these. I mean, very definitely, absolutely, and probably. So, for ticket information, call 619-544-1000 or visit fritztheater.com.
Yeah.
Well, that's about the bulk of what I know going on this week.
Okay, sounds good to me.
I'll tell you what, guys, if you print... For all the artistic directors and producers and publishers for theaters, if you print your promotional cards and leave them in the lobby at Compass Theater, I rely heavily on those to know what's going on. Now, I use the websites, I use other emails as well, but would really love to have your cards in our hands. And I mention this because one of the things that Signet says on their card is to mention it when you're ordering tickets. And they do like to know that this has helped their promotional value. Well, I'm holding the card for the receptionist right now, August 2nd through August 31st. Tickets 619-337-1525 or online at www.signettheater.com. And I'm reading that straight off their promotional card. So we'd love to have those. Be sure to drop those off for us at Compass Theater.
Or go online and send us information on the page where you can click where the podcasts are. There's a way there to send us information.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, I think we've got it covered for this week.
I hope so.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll see you again in 2 weeks.
This has been Follow Spot, a podcast service of San Diego Theater Scene Incorporated, a nonprofit organization for the arts in San Diego, California. We invite you to visit our website, sdtheaterscene.com, for current comprehensive news and information about performance activities in San Diego County. Your host for this program has been Kelly Lapchinsky, who is also program coordinator, and Michael Thomas Tower, who is also engineer and announcer. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to your being with us again soon.